This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's June 5th, 2019. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch.
Aw, yeah.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening live, you can call us right now at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, then you can send an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. Beginning the show, once again, Ron's Rant of the Week. Got a good one this week.
Yeah,
you guys ready?
Don't forget to say that Kurt's here.
Oh, yeah, and we have a guest here from Fran's show, which was just on, and it's Kurt. I missed your last
Kurt
name.
Kurt Beal, Dr. Kurt Beal,
another one of those crazy natural path
people. We're everywhere.
Huh? Yeah, you're everywhere. I know.
We should be everywhere.
I'm surrounded by
them. You literally are surrounded today.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. It all is a beautiful thing. Anyway, so we have an extra voice in the studio here today, which is always nice, and you're welcome to chime in whenever you wish, if you wish. Ron's Rant of the Week. All right. So you know that I'm pretty active. Fran and I are both pretty active in the group ride situation. We're active with a local club. We ride bikes on big organized rides often. And so my Rant of the Week is going to be once again about group rides, because I do spout about these a lot. And it is racing the group ride. Are you one of those who feels it's extremely important to win a low-key group ride? Have you considered a racing license instead, a local time trial, or creating your own ride, which is designed around competitive fun? If you're one of those and you fit that description, then you are part of my rant this week. Don't do that. Stop doing that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, so here's the deal. If you want to race the group ride, if that's your thing and that's how it all works and it makes you feel good, then lovely. It's great. Because if you're on my ride, I'm just going to let you go. I don't really care. But if you really are that intrigued by this, www.usacycling.org. Get yourself a license. Get out there and do it. You know, I used to run these rides out of my store years ago. And you'd always get people who are out to race the group ride. You know, generally they're, you know, proving themselves, they're doing whatever they're doing. I don't know exactly what it is they're doing, but, you know, they're getting their jollies and they're having a good time with it. I would carry USA Cycling applications, race applications in my back pocket. And when they would do that, I would roll up next to them and I'd hand it to them. And
yeah.
They'd look at me and go, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
But you are.
And I'd go, but you are. And yeah. Since you're so fascinated by this, I think you should do this instead of doing it here, where all these people are hanging on for dear life and not having fun like we're intending everyone to have fun.
I agree with things that you've said in the past about how we really need a local time trial.
We do.
That the club should
makes
have a time
difference.
Trial. It, just because then people really can race. They can go all out and you can cheer for each other. And you're basically racing yourself. I mean, people are going to unfortunately compare their times to other people on the time trial. But you're not literally racing with other people. You're
right.
Going off at 2-minute intervals and you're doing your own thing.
Well, years ago, the local running club in Willimantic used to have something called the Monday Night Fun Run.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what it was. It was a run where it was like a little 5K run, and people would show up, and, you know, those who wanted to race could race, and those who just wanted to go out and meet new people and be outdoors and bring in all the effects of the outdoors and how positive that is.
Yeah, outdoors.
Hey, outdoors. Yeah, there we go. The endorsement for outdoors. You know, they could do that, too. But anyway, so that's my rant of the week, racing the group ride. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I mean, if you need to do it, I guess if you're not hurting anyone, I guess it's okay.
Well, and also it depends on the group ride. If the group ride in question has a stated mission of that particular ride, there is going to be some sprinting and racing and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Then you
that's
can do
fine.
That. But if the ride leader has said, please don't ride off the front.
Well,
and then you do it.
That's why I said
rude.
On here, or creating your own ride, which is designed around competitive fun. which is fun because I've been on many of those.
Right.
Further discussion on the show and on my Facebook page, Bicycle Talk. Please let us know how you feel about this. Love to hear from you. On a positive side, positive and not. But anyway, the Giro is over. That's the sad part. But the Giro d'Italia surprise, American Chad Hagawas, fastest on the final stages individual time trial. An American from Texas.
What is it about Texas?
I'm gonna talk about that a little later on. Actually, there's a lot of good stuff going on in Texas right now.
Right.
If you're a cycling person. So anyway, he's from Texas and he's from McKinley, Texas. I think it's where he's from, and he had the fastest time of the day on the last stage 21 of the Giro. It was a 17-kilometer, 10.5 miles.
So he won the time trial?
He won the time trial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he actually saved face for his team, which is his team had a bit of a problem because their number one rider had a bad crash. That was Dumoulin, had a terrible, terrible crash and earlier in the race, and so he was pretty much out of the picture. So, but anyway, this young boy, 30 years old, had a great ride and did really well. He rides for the Sunweb team, and just a little bit of a shout out to him because I think that's kind of a cool thing. And let's see, if you want to know a little bit more about this guy, I pulled up. I think he has his very own Wikipedia page. So Chad Haga
I don't have a Wikipedia page.
No, well, maybe you should work on that. He was born in McKinney, Texas, and he attended Texas A&M University, and he earned his Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering, and he was racing collegiately with the Texas A&M cycling team as an amateur with Team Brain and Spine Cycling, blah, blah, blah. There's all sorts of stuff in here for him if you want to look it up. He was on the 23rd of January in 2016. He was one of six members of the Team Giant Alpsen team who were hit by a car they were training in Spain. All the riders were kind of rough, and it was really a question as to whether he was going to race in the Giro this year. He comes back and he wins the final stage of the Giro.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Won it by like 4 seconds, I think, is what the winning time was, by 4 seconds on that. So pretty cool stuff. You know, he's your classic way too skinny, way too light cyclist. You know, he's 6'3" and weighs, 158 pounds. So there's not much to this boy, but boy, can he move a bike. That's pretty cool. So a little shout out, you know, for American cycling. We do have some people that we want to keep our eyes on. Could be an up and coming person. You never know. He's, believe it or not, getting old at 30 years of age. When we really look at the, we look at the youngsters at, you know, 23, 24, 25, 26. When they start doing things like this, we really start paying attention because they could become a major player in the future of bicycle racing, if you are into bicycle racing. And if you listen to Pedal and Ron, you know that I am. So it's kind of a cool thing. Anyway, that's what he's all about. He saved the Sunweb team because the Sunweb team was pretty much very disappointed when Dumoulin went down. Very unfortunate. But so they got to at least finish with a bang, which is kind of cool. So anyway, thought I would mention that because I thought it was a good thing. On a positive side, it's a totally cool thing. Moving on from the positive side, this is another little note here. He said Hoggeth had told his wife to stay home because, you know, it was like the last stage. Yeah, stay home. Don't worry about it. And then he goes, maybe that was a mistake.
maybe that was the secret sauce. Nothing against her, but he won.
Yeah.
So
the cyclist said as he smiled through tears of joy in the post-race interview, this is for everyone who believed in me and supported me and sacrificed for me.
I have to ask you, what is Sunweb?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know. You got to look it up.
Okay.
You got a computer over there. You're going to have to play with that. Right. So anyway, this was Haga's first stage victory in a Grand Tour. He was 4 seconds faster than the next fastest rider and 6 seconds faster than the third fastest rider. So that's kind of a cool thing. So Moving on, the next thing on my list, the maintenance minute. You know, I talk a lot about e-bikes here because e-bikes are a thing. They are a thing. Get used to it. We're going to see more of them out there. I think they're brilliant because they put people on bicycles that probably had given up on the idea of riding a bicycle, and they really do make a difference. They really do transform people and get them excited about cycling, and that's what we need. We need more people that are excited about cycling, more cyclists on the road. The roads get safer, you know, the rest of the story. Electric bikes, though, require more care since they will usually be ridden farther and faster than a conventional bicycle. And anything that slows the bike down, like dirt in the gears or deflated tires, forces the battery to work harder. This shortens the time between charges. It means you can travel less distance on a single charge. So there are things to pay attention to with your electric bike. It's, you know, it's not just I get on my bike, it's electric, I don't have to do anything. Cleaning is probably the number one thing you can do to ensure that your bike will serve you for a long time and for the long run. You should really clean your e-bike after every ride, but it depends on your riding style, how much you ride, where you ride. But the electrical components don't take kindly to strong stream of water, so you have to be careful about that. Don't use aggressive water sprays or power jets while you're washing your bike. Keep it off the battery as much as you can. Clean gently but thoroughly, and make sure all of the outer casing of the electric parts are dry and clean. So anyway, lubricating after cleaning is also advisable. Lubricate the chain, the levers, the derailleur cables, etc. A clean and lubricated chain tends to be faster, smoother, and quieter. And it's like getting a little extra push for free. Applying lubricant to the different parts and let it sit for a few minutes, and then wipe off the excess lubricant with a rag. After a while, clean the different parts with a degreaser to move excess dirt. So don't leave your bike out in the rain, the snow, or the weather, please. It's an electric bike. It has components on it that don't like that. Of course, your regular bike.
Someone left my bike out in the rain.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah. It's not good to leave any bike out in the rain. You really shouldn't. You really shouldn't. This is why we have Fran here on the co-host, because it, you know, it adds a little flavor to the...
And color.
And color. Yeah. Yes, of course. So anyway, take care of your e-bike. You know, your e-bike will take care of you. Take care of your bike. Your bike will take care of you. It's all very, very good. Very, very good things. So other things that are in the news, we are moving on into our program here a little bit more, and we are going to talk, of course, about the Giro d'Italia because, you know, I've been talking about it for 3 weeks now. It's my favorite bike race. It's really cool. It was a very interesting race this year. A lot of young riders this year. You know, there was a very big surprise winner, Richard Carapaz, who is from Ecuador. He was the first big win for anyone from Ecuador. He won the race after 21 days by 1 minute and 5 seconds. So pretty close by, and there are some interesting. He was second was Vincenzo Nibali, and third was Primoz Roglic. And those were the first three riders in this year's Giro d'Italia. It came down to the mountains, as it always does. And you get someone the size of Richard Carapaz, who grew up in Ecuador. He's just a little guy.
You want to hear something really funny?
What?
The dude's name is Carapaz.
Carapaz.
You know what a Carapaz is?
No, I don't know what a Carapaz is.
So what did I pick up on my bike ride the other day? Two of them.
A turtle.
Yeah. So
this man's not a turtle.
This is what's so funny. A carapace. What's a carapace?
That's the turtle shell.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah. His name is Turtle Shell.
Okay.
And he's the fastest guy in the Giro d'Italia. Yeah, that's hysterically funny.
He was not a turtle.
He was not a turtle.
He actually...
It's ironic.
There's some irony there.
Yeah. There is some irony there. So anyway, it was the first big win for him. His parents had flown over from Ecuador and revealed it was the first time they'd ever been on an airplane. How about that? I mean, it's just, you know, it's a different world. It's a totally different world. I had this really cool
picture I found of him.
And the the Movistar team was, they were holding him up in the air. And, you know, it's pretty cool. It's on your sheet if you take a look at it.
I want to see a picture of this guy.
And both Carapaz and Nibali took their children onto the podium with them as they collected their trophies this year. So aww, that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, but that's totally the thing. Cool. People do that.
Yeah, it is a thing, but it's still cool. It's still definitely cool. So that's what's going on.
Oh, there's the picture of him in the air.
Yeah,
that's
like
pretty
that.
Cute.
Yeah, so I should probably post that on the Facebook page. But he says it's incredible to say that he's the winner of the Tour of Italy. 3 weeks ago at Movistar's pre-Giro d'Italia press conference in Bologna, Richard Carapaz sat largely ignored by Mikel Landa as Mikel Landa drew all the undivided attention of the reporters. But anyway, he just powered to a victory on stage four, and he was they let him go. What a foolish move. They let him go.
Giro d'Italia, powered by quinoa.
Yep, there you go. Powered by quinoa? What are you talking about?
And guinea pigs.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Because these are Ecuadorian things.
Oh, right.
Quinoa is something they like to eat in Ecuador a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And guinea pigs.
Right. And guinea
pigs. No, they don't eat them.
They do.
Oh.
I mean, up in the mountains and stuff.
I didn't want to know that.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Yeah, I was there once.
Hey, it's there. They're plentiful. People are hungry. It happens. Mm. You know? I know they're cute and they're pets here.
They are
but
cute.
You know what? They're not
sorry,
cute.
Vegans.
They're not cute and pets in all of the world. You know,
I know, and cows are cute too,
well,
and we eat them.
People believe cows are cute. Some people think chickens are cute. I don't agree with that at all.
Depends on the chicken.
Right. Depends
well,
on chicken.
It depends on whether you grew up on a chicken farm with 2,000 chickens.
Last year, when I was in Portland, there was a neighborhood, chicken beauty contest going on.
Really?
Of course,
yes.
There was.
Really? Yes, in Portland. Yeah, of course. Oh, it was completely unsurprising.
Was it on Peacock Lane?
No.
Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway, you completely took
there's
me out.
There's two of us now.
You took me out of my game,
here,
you guys.
I'm derailing your
that's okay.
Bicycle talk.
That's
here.
Okay. It's all right. It's all right. That's good.
I see what you did
thank
there.
You, thank you. Thank you.
Derailing. I got that.
Got it.
But bump.
I'm trying to fit in.
Right. There you go. Oh, you're doing great. You're doing great. So for 2 weeks, he maintained a substantial position in the tour. And, of course, when they got to the mountains on stage 13, that was when things got very, very interesting. And Vincenzo Nibali and Primoz Roglic both were having some trouble in the mountains. And this guy, he just soloed to a stage victory at the Cormier, and he moved to a pink jersey in that following day, and he kept it. He held it for the rest of the race. Really, really, really cool. We'll have to go back, and I'll show you that stage. It was a great stage to watch. If you're into bike racing, I love this stuff. It's the race just gets so interesting when you get to the mountains, and the Tour of Italy is it's probably the most severe of the Grand Tours that are out there. It's just the climbs are epic. Sometimes over 20% climbs, just really like ugly things, and these little people go well. He reminded me a lot of Pantani.
Oh, Pantani.
Yeah.
Oh.
His cycling style is
really
very, very, very much like Pantani. Yeah, really like gritted it out, went for it. So, it was fun to watch. It was definitely fun to watch. So, anyway, that's what's going on with the Giro. I'm sad it's over. There'll be more racing, I know, but it's...
The next Grand Tour will actually be televised.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it will be televised. This one was televised. You just had to figure out your resources as to where you were going to find
and what country.
That.
And
right.
Don't get me started.
And, and what app.
The most watched sex spectator sport in the world.
Yep.
And here in the U.S., we basically can't watch it unless we, incredible
subscribe.
Machinations.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, it's what it is. If you're a lover of bicycle racing, as I am, you can find the resources that it takes to learn more about it.
But if you want to watch NASCAR, all you have to do is flip on ESPN.
Well, NASCAR is the most watched sport in the United States.
In the U.S. Yeah.
It's number
well, who
one.
Doesn't like watching cars drive around in a circle?
Yeah, exactly. It's very interesting. So, yeah, right. Right. So anyway, it's what it is. We live in a different world,
folks. Danica
Patrick. We definitely live in a different world. So, I can't get this. I'm being plagued by an ad blocker here. It's just terrible. So anyway, there were some. Let's see if that works. There we go. There were some famous quotes that came out of the tour this year. Vincenzo Nibali said, "I knew it would be very difficult to win. I just wanted to ride flat out. I gave it my best, and I'm very happy with that. Second in a Grand Tour is never easy. This Giro has been very challenging, but considering that 6 months ago I was out with a major injury to my back after the crash in the Tour, second overall is a good result."
Riding a bike isn't easy.
These guys are tough. The third place finisher, Primo Roglic, it's very nice, especially with the weather. It's the first summer day I can think of the course, of course, with so many spectators and so many Slovenian supporters. Finishing
right
on the podium is, for me, like a win.
Because of Roglic.
This, of course, was, he made this statement after they had ridden through days and days of nasty rain. And, oh, God, there were some epic, epic rides in the Tour this year. And there was the big one of the big queen stage races when they actually had to not use the climb and they had to go around it because it was still under 7 meters of snow. So, you know, these things happen. It's the Giro. It's like the cool race. I love the Giro. Love the Vuelta a España, and the Tour de France is for, you know, the pedestrians.
I like it's, pink.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. I'm going to get yelled at for that one, but I don't really care. The Tour de France is great. It has drawn a lot of people in to follow bicycle racing. Obviously, it was drawn in because we've had some amazing American finishers in that race over the years, but we've also had them in the other tours too. But anyway, it's just bicycle racing. That's what we do. Chad Haga, who we talked about earlier, who got that fabulous time trial, his quote was, "It was a very fast course, a lot of new pavements, quite technical, a lot of corners in the first 2 kilometers, especially. The climb was a very tough to pace. There was a climb that was partway into this thing. There's no rhythm on it. You have to consistently adjust your pace to the climb. The descent was very technical and very fast. My extended recon paid off there. I only rode it once, but I watched the video of it, I think, 20 times this morning. And in the final 3 kilometers, they aren't as technical, but they're also really fast corners. In the final kilometers, in the cobbles, it's pretty punishing. You can settle in and find the power just constantly being bumped all over." The interesting thing about this, it was a 17-kilometer time trial, and I noticed that the times were well under 30 miles an hour. They were like, you know, 26, 27 miles an hour.
It's hilly.
It was technical. There were a lot of turns.
Right.
And Chad had studied the course, watching the video over and over and over again, getting it in his head as to where it was going to be. He won it by 4 seconds.
Wow.
You know? I mean, there's a lot. The time trial is just a very interesting race.
Yeah.
So,
anyway. I'm going to pick a time trial this year and get good at it.
Yeah.
It would be a good thing. You're going to want me to do Chafeeville, aren't you?
It would be good if we had one locally that we could
know.
Do. But, you know, we don't. So this is what we got.
But I'll do my own.
Anyway. So I have here, I went to the Bicycle Retail magazine, and they have an opinion page, and they have a lot of interesting things. There was a bicycle leadership conference that happened, and there are some takeaways from the conference, and it's really looking at the future of cycling in the U.S., the future of the cycling industry, what's going on out there. As we know, and I have spoken about this before, the bicycle industry is a little troublesome right now because the numbers are down again. In 2018, independent bicycle dealer channels sales were flat, but with the rest of the bike market, big box down by 3.3%. That would be your Walmarts of the world. Largely as a result of store closures. there has been a 7% decline in bike unit sales and a 2% decline in dollars across the U.S. bike market since 2017. This enduring trend of declining units and underwhelming dollar sales performance contributed to an unsettled tone among the presenters and the attendees of this particular conference. So as this particular author here, Ryan Atkinson.
I helped to offset that this year.
Yes, you did. And we appreciate all that helped offset that, because, you know, supporting your local bicycle shop and the bicycle industry is a very, very good thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're just people who love bikes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a tough way to make a buck.
Bikes
but
are good.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
So what's happening? Trying not to focus on the negatives. Growth is happening in electric and gravel. Pre-owned market is largely untapped. I know a few people that are doing really well with it. Shout out to our folks at Bicico in Hartford. 50,000 baby boomers are retiring every day in the United States. 50,000. There's a market there. Most dollar growth in retail is coming from online sales. Speed to market and product launch is critical. Product innovation is driving sales. Increased sales velocity of products to maximize margin. And select brands and retailers are thriving, counter to broader trends. E-commerce, it's fueling a retail growth. Yeah, we got to keep our eyes on this. I talk about it a lot. You hear it a lot. And I know I'm a cranky old bike guy who does not have an electric bicycle, but I think they're great. I think they're a really, really good thing. And I think they're
because you're reaching new markets.
You're reaching new markets. Yes. You're reaching old markets.
If
also.
I can. Yeah, so
yeah, fire away.
Yeah, where I live, right in the Hudson Valley, you know, there's a train station. And a lot of people come up and visit. And it's great for biking, but right from the river where the train station is, there's a huge hill.
Straight uphill.
And so, you know, once they get up the hill, there's all kinds of biking up there, but no, you know, nobody's going to get a bike and ride up that hill. You know, if they have an e-bike.
Especially if they were riding back and forth to work. I mean, riding down to the train, take the train
exactly,
to work.
Exactly.
Oh, it's just a brilliant. Yeah. It's a brilliant answer. It really is.
Yeah.
It really does work. And they last a long time. The batteries do stand up really well, and it's, you know, it doesn't require a lot to operate one.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's no reason to get rid of your regular bike.
No.
No.
It's not like, eliminate all bikes and go to e-bikes, but.
We'll see in cyclists, do you know about N+1?
No. Yeah, sorry, I'm a noob. I'm sorry. I mean, I have a bike.
That's okay.
I have two bikes, actually. So.
Well,
N+1.
You're getting closer, then.
Okay.
Yeah. So and right.
See, I can't wait to see your arsenal of
shirts. Oh, no, we're not that bad.
So the answer to if you're an avid cyclist, what's the answer to the question of how many bikes should you own?
Gotcha, yeah.
N+1.
N+1.
So I'm a skier, so yeah, it's the same with a pair of skis.
I see.
You understand.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even if they only come out once a year, you know,
you still got it. There's that one day that it's like, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
So I bought a new bicycle in Florida where I live, where my mother lives, and because I have a bike down there, but it's old and it doesn't handle well and it weighs a ton. And I really was hoping at some point to get a new bike. And then a great opportunity happened. And my mother looked at me and said, "Why do you need a new bike? What's wrong with your old one?" And I'm like, "Mom." So I had a Specialized Dolce Elite, and I had the opportunity to get a Focus Izalco Dona,
uh-huh,
which is a really nice German racing bike. Okay. And I test rode it, and I'm like, I fell in love. So that's why. And so then I explained to the bike shop I had an N+1 problem, so I had to wait a little bit before I could, you know, get the old bike into their shop for them to sell it to get the new bike home, because my mother wasn't going to tolerate me having two bikes.
Only one bike.
And so, I don't have an N+1 problem with him.
No, because it's bikes. Bikes make sense. So do you have an N+1 problem? Do you have that? Can give us a call.
There you go.
Let us hear from you. We would love to hear about your N+1 problem.
What we hear.
Or you can post it on Facebook if you like.
The thing we hear is that couples, like if you have a couple where one is an avid cyclist and one is not, and unfortunately in the cycling world, more men ride bikes than women.
Yes.
But however, there's a healthy women's cycling community, and that seems to be more true as you get into more populated areas.
Mm-hmm.
So in Massachusetts, there seem to be a lot more women cyclists than there are in Connecticut.
Well, but, you know, the Farm to Fork Fondos, which we go to and that I announce, They have almost a 50% participation of women to men. So, I mean, that's amazing, because years ago it was maybe 10% women.
Wow.
And then you the rest would be more
male-dominated. By the way, on Saturday and Sunday and Monday, we're going to be in Warwick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Warwick.
New York.
New York. Okay, yeah. Sure.
So pretty close by you.
That, you guys might be driving right by me, depending on... Well, no, you'll probably go over the...
We'll be close.
You'll go over 84, yeah, sure.
Yeah. We'll be close.
Cool.
Cool. If you have an N plus one problem you'd like to talk to us about right away, you could call us at 860-486-9487, and Fran would love to talk to you about this, I'm sure. It's kind of a funny thing, but we digressed. We just jumped completely off track here. So brands are under pressure to adapt. That is definitely a problem that's out there, and there's an awful lot of changing in technology and a question of, you know, my question is, do we really need this technology? We were having this conversation on the ride last weekend, and you know, someone said to me, "Oh, you don't have electronic shifting on your bike." And I went, "No."
No.
And they went, "Well, why not?"
Because you have to remember to charge it. That's why I don't want it.
Right. You do have to remember to charge it. It is. But it takes a long time to burn a battery out. But it can happen. And we know people who have been on rides.
It has happened to them. And it has interrupted the ride.
And then they're stuck in a gear that they can't get home on. Yeah. And so that was my explanation on that. I think that it came off of a disc brake issue that we're having on one of the rider's bikes. The disc brakes started to rub. I grumbled something about disc brakes, because I do grumble about them, because I don't think they're appropriate on certain bicycles. I think, you know, if you have a heavy weighted down touring bike, they're great. If you're riding on a tandem, I think they're great on a road bike. Cyclocross, I'm the jury's still out with me on that one. I'm still not 100% on that one. But I do know that people really like the fact that they can, you know, really, really, really have more control over the braking on their bike when they're in strategic areas. I believe that our time trial winner in the last stage of the Giro was riding with disc brakes on his time trial bike, and he attributed that to why he was able to win, because he was able to make braking judgments at the last second, and that he thought it made a big difference. So, you know, anyway, whatever. My brakes work really fine. I'm very happy with them, and I am not willing to give up on certain things like cables that I know I can adjust and replace and actually do makeshift things on the fly versus having fluid in my brake cables.
But my gravel grinder has disc brakes, right?
Has cable disc brakes, yes.
Oh, which is different than...
Than fluid disc brakes.
Okay.
Right. Fluid disc brakes are like what you have in your car.
Oh.
Right.
And that's what you're not crazy about.
Yeah, because if you have a leak in a brake line, you have no brakes.
Right.
Hello, and it's not like it's a huge volume of fluid in there. It's If your cable breaks, true. It's all true. But you can kind of tell when your cable is getting ready to break. You can feel the difference. It's just a different thing. You know, I'm just slow to adapt. And I will be. And if you want to talk about it, then please just let me know. Post it on the Facebook page. We'd love to hear what your feeling is about the new technology in the bicycles that are out there. In improving retail experience is something else that they talked about at this conference. If you're feeling like you're losing some of your retail dollars to the online experience, maybe you need to figure out what it is that is drawing people away from your store, or maybe you need to figure out ways of drawing people into your store, make it more, comfortable for a retail buyer to come by and maybe let them hang out or have some sort of an interactive, I hate to put it this way, but you know, you go into an electronics store or a phone store and they have a little tablet for you to sign in with, you know, and they have things that you can play with and interact with. And who's winning the game right now in retail? Electronics.
Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because they're luring people in with the way they're doing it, and they're doing it in retail stores because a lot of those retail stores are very busy. So it's just, yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on online, but we also need to pay attention to ways to attract people into your store to make them maybe appreciate what you have to offer a little bit more. The other thing that was mentioned at the conference was the channel for electric bikes is uncertain. Pay attention to them. There's no guarantee that the U.S. will follow Europe, where electric bikes are dominating the market. But the sales growth indicators in the U.S. are all pointing this way, along with demographic changes. An aging population of boomers will seek the accessibility and utility-minded millennials. And utility-minded millennials will also appreciate the mobility solution. So you say, well, I can't go to the grocery store on my bicycle because, well, how am I going to carry all those bags of groceries home, and they're going to be heavy and all that? Well, if you have an e-bike and a trailer, then you can carry as much as you want, and it's not really a problem. You just have to – we're not thinking properly in this country. We think inside of the box, and the box has four wheels on it and metal doors and windows, and we're not thinking about, you know, the opportunities that we have. I've had the pleasure of riding the last few rides with our friend Sylvia and Jim, and they both commute on their bicycles, and they commute all the time, and they're really into it, and they don't see it as a problem. They're riding into Hartford. They're you know, they are using an accessible trail, which is very, very nice. But, you know, it's possible. You have to retrain your brain. I spoke to another friend of mine who said he was going to try to do at least 2 days a week during the summer and ride his bike back and forth to work for at least 2 days a week, which is great. This is a good thing to do. You know, you gotta think about this because we don't put enough focus there. Indoor cycling. It was number six on the list here. It's driving new people to the sport. I will probably say that that is true. We definitely have brought a few people through the gym who are now riding outdoors.
That's
right. And that experience is really good because eventually they get to the point where they just go, you know what, I wonder what it feels like to make this thing go forward. So the rise of Peloton, which is a big, big factor with their massive marketing budget, has led to a lot more people heading outdoors for fitness. Consumers are flocking to cycling, and that presents immediate opportunities to sell shoes and apparel and all that other stuff that goes along with the whole cycling thing. And then the other big thing that is getting people outside a little bit more is Zwift. Zwift is a factor, and it
Zwift
is
Zwift and other and virtual experiences.
There are other virtual experiences out
like
there
Ruvi,
too. Right?
Ruvi. How do you say it?
But what it doesn't do is it doesn't get you out into that lovely green world that we were talking about on the last show, and how important that is for our health and well being. You know, I understand that there are time restraints, and the, you know, people have, you know, trouble making time to get the fitness in, and that's where the indoor cycle is a good thing. I get all that. I was on one this morning. I understand. I was teaching.
There are
on
some
this
people
morning.
Who are inspired by their indoor experience to get outside.
Right.
There are definitely others who are addicted to their virtual experience.
Yay, outside.
Mm. Okay. All right. So there's something I haven't really looked this up, but the People for Bikes, solid organization, they've launched something called Ride Spot, and it's a great digital platform to help make it easier for new cyclists to discover great places to ride. I will also point out Ride with GPS, which has been a very, very good place to pick up rides that other people who are experienced in cycling have laid out. I have over 100 rides on my Ride with GPS, and I think I need to clean that up a little bit.
So you're going to become
duplicates.
An ambassador.
I'm working on it. Yeah. I have applied for an ambassadorship to Ride with GPS. I have not heard back from them at this time. So if anyone's listening, yes, I'm interested. And I think I would make a good ambassador because I have a lot of
Well, you're
rides
ready
on
a
there.
Bicycling ambassador anyway.
I
so.
Already am. It's on my business card. It's right there.
Right.
So, So anyway, we're moving slowly. This is the consensus of this seminar, is that the Bicycle Leadership Conference has said that we are moving at a slow pace. We'd like to move it a little bit faster, but it's the question is, you know, how can we do it? If anybody has any ideas out there, please let me know. What is your shop doing to influence cycling, to get more people out on bikes, to increase your business? These are all things that are very, very, very important to growing cycling, because it's not just about the internet and online everything. Got to get out and ride your bike. Get out and ride your bike.
Don't I get outside.
That? Yeah. Don't I say that every week? I say something about get out and ride your bike.
Yeah.
So here's another piece from the opinion page, which I thought was interesting. Backpedaling, it's called. Sales of children's bikes are slowing. Gotta hate this. I hate this.
No.
Why do I hate this? Number one reason. You know what it is? Electronics. What kid these days is not glued to his or her device? I'm starting to see it younger and younger and younger.
There's a study came out a little while ago that said that average kid in this country, age I think 5 to 11, spends 26 minutes outside a day.
Mm-hmm. 26 minutes.
Yeah, which is average. So you figure, okay, like, all right, so there's some kids that, you know, their parents are letting them play outside. That means that there's a bunch of kids that
aren't.
You
know,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And with, you know, two working parents and latchkey kids,
oh, yeah,
you know, they come home and they don't go outside.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and there's helicopter parents, and then there's parents who are afraid to let the kids go outside.
Oh, yeah. Right. I had a friend in Oregon that he taught high school. He had his student is a freshman in high school. His parents made him come home straight from school and go inside. And, like, he could go out in the backyard if he wanted, but he wasn't allowed to go out on the street. He was 14. This wasn't like a six-year-old. I mean,
this is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because it's almost worse because it's Portland, Oregon, which is one of the most gorgeous cities ever.
This was out in the sticks, but
right. Out in the sticks. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even better.
Not like here.
Right.
And then we have the Mullally family, and everyone rides a bike. They're just such great great endorsement for cycling.
The Mullallys and the Livingstons and the Weisses.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. There are a number of people that we know that have decided that, you know, putting their children on bicycles and having them have that experience through their younger life is very important.
And the summers. Summers.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Wade. Yep. Yep. Definitely. Wade and Laura. Absolutely. So a little shout out for if you guys are listening. Hey, you got mentioned on Bicycle Talk. Cool. Get your kids out. Ride your bike. Get out. Store closures. When giant toy stores started closing up shop, those who intend to purchase bikes for their children are left with fewer options. You know, you can get them from a bike shop. And I understand they're not going to be at the same price level that they would be if you were, you know, purchasing them from a mass marketer. But I will endorse this because, you know, I am a long believer in the bicycle industry. I was in it for 43 years. So you get what you pay for, and it will come back to be less expensive in the long run if you actually keep it, maintain it, pass it on.
Cost of a bicycle, cost of your doctor visit, cost of your bicycle, cost of your prescription, cost of your bicycle, cost of your cardiovascular disease.
Right. Cost of your bicycle, cost of disposing it in a dumpster and having it being thrown away because it didn't last.
You know, oh, there's that.
The throwaway.
Yeah, right.
The throwaway factor that goes along with most mass marketers.
Right.
You know, the big box stores are known for their business plan is based around you getting either sick of it or wearing it out, throwing it out, and buying another one like it.
Planned obsolescence.
Right. You got it. And then that's one of the things that's also mentioned here, price increases. As price tags on children's bikes rise, new purchase frequently starts to dwindle. How much does it cost to, I have a question, how much does it cost to outfit a small child in a full football uniform? I would like to know that.
Yeah.
I know what it costs to, I know hockey skates aren't cheap.
Put him in gymnastics.
Put him in gymnastics.
Martial arts.
Running is probably still the least expensive sport to get your child involved in, other than hiking or, you know, anything like that. But, you know, there's
tetherball.
There you go. Tetherball. Badminton. That's yeah. Croquet.
Tetherball.
That's probably a pretty cheap sport.
Okay, Napoleon Dynamite.
So anyway, there's, you know, the kids aren't going to the market. So here we go. Are kids really riding bikes less because of screens? According to a recent participation study from the Outdoor Industry Association, children's participation in bike riding has declined 19% since 2007. Mm. Perhaps coincidentally, that is also the year Apple's iPhone came to market.
Oh.
As you think about reports we've seen all around children becoming less active, there could be a correlation. Yeah. According to the Outdoor Association groups, U.S. retail tracking data, retail closures may have also had some impact on kids' bike sales in this past year. In fact, the sales of kids' bikes for the combined holiday selling months of November through December of 2018 were down 10% in units from the previous year. That's a notable decrease that may have been caused partly by consumer confusion regarding where to purchase, given a store they relied on for years is out of business. So remember, I come from the bike industry from a long time ago. I am a product of the bicycle industry in the 70s, and we used to have hundreds of bicycles lined up at the holidays on layaway. Because remember getting a bike for Christmas was like a thing, you know? It was like, oh boy, I got a new bike for Christmas. And it was 10 degrees outside, you were out riding up and down the street because you got a new bike for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it was like a really special thing. Now it's I got a new iPad for Christmas, or I got a new whatever, gizmo, PlayStation, something, whatever.
Yeah, you would get your bike and you would go show it to all your friends and you would go ride around town. And, you know.
Yeah, it was, and it didn't matter how cold it was outside. It didn't matter. Didn't matter. People got
You'd
bikes
ride your bike
Christmas.
To the library. Just,
it was a beautiful thing. Price decreases maybe also be playing a role in decreased sales. Price increases maybe starting in 2018, there was about a 5% increase in the average selling of kids' bikes, children's BMX compared to the same month the previous year. Thank you, tariffs. During this time, monthly unit sales declined 13% on the average compared to the same month the previous year. This trend has been evident every period since March. A potential cause of these increases is the reaction of bicycle manufacturers and retailers to the talk of increased tariffs on steel, very commonly used to make kids' bikes. So that all started around that time. So, I'm going to get all political. I got to move on. I got to go find something positive to talk about here. And then we're running out of time. So we'll wrap this thing up in a minute. I'm going to save that for an on the positive side because that is I'll bring that up next week. And
all right.
I'm just going to move on. But I've got some other things here just to mention. And we will see that building for tomorrow, why bikes should be a priority in U.S. infrastructure improvements. This is another thing that we need to pay attention to. And I have some more statistics here, which I thought were really good. This is from People for Bikes, peopleforbikes.org. Great site. Check them out. We've got some really, really good information there. The popularity of bike share, electric bikes, and bike commuting in general has increased the urgency throughout the country for safe and efficient bicycle infrastructure. Without question, bikes also help other modes of transportation. They reduce traffic congestion, connect more people to the public transportation, and provide a low-cost mode of transportation that requires a minimal federal investment. 47% of Americans say they would be more likely to ride a bike if pathways were physically separated from motor vehicles. Pay attention. 53% of Americans worry about being hit by a motor vehicle when riding a bike. No kidding, especially if there's no one driving it. Only 6% of American employees included biking their commute to work, compared to 41% in Copenhagen. Cities and towns invest in bike infrastructure improvements are seeing double-digit increases in bicycle participation. Davis, California, a 25.6% increase. Cambridge, Massachusetts, 17.7% increase. Corvallis, Oregon, 16% increase. Boulder, Colorado, 15.2% increase. So, you know what? Build your infrastructure. Build it, and they will come. And we won't even get into, and I'll save it for later, the economic impact this has on your communities when you do this.
Right.
What are we waiting for? Please, 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 people, pay attention. Pay attention. Talk to people. You have to get out. You need to become an ambassador for your sport, for your community, for your passion. Get out there. Have a chat. Take your local legislator for a short bike ride. You know, say, hey, do this for me. Give me 1 mile of your time. And let's go for a ride.
Are we going to take Greg Haddad for a ride?
I would love to. Well, okay. You know what? He's already sold on it.
Oh, all right. We should still take him.
Greg Haddad, our local legislator. Our local legislator won my vote when he rode to my house and knocked on my door and asked for his vote.
Oh.
When he rode his bicycle from door to door to door.
Greg Haddad did that?
Yes, he did.
Yay, Greg Haddad.
And he said, well, he told me who he was. And I said, yeah, I know who you are. I said, you don't have to pitch me on anything. He said, well, why not?
Do you want a drink?
And I said, you rode your bike here. You won. That's it. So, you know, this is it. You know, hey, if you're a politician, maybe you should consider riding your bike door to door and getting to know people and meet people and see people in a different way. You're physically out there. You're active. You're going to see more people. You're going to be presenting about something very positive. Okay.
And I'll he rode on Bassett's Bridge Road, which is not easy.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. So anyway, I got to wrap it up.
We got
some things going on here. Events, June 8th.
Saturday.
This Saturday coming up, the Tour de Mansfield. Yay. It's here at the Mansfield Community Center right here in Storrs, Connecticut. You can find out more about it at the Mansfield Community Center website. You'll find out more about that. June 9th, the Weathersfield Bicycle Show, Swap Meet, and Festival at Weathersfield High School. Check them out on Facebook. Ride Around the Quabbin, Saturday, June 15th. You ride around the Quabbin Reservoir, 65, 100, or 125 miles from Rutland, Mass. On paved roads around the Quabbin Reservoir, a pristine jewel in the heart of Massachusetts, the King's Tour of the Quabbin on Saturday, June 15th. Not much traffic, plenty of hills, and it's not a race.
You want to go?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Right.
League cycling instructor for the League of American Cyclists. It is in Hartford. It is sponsored through the Center of Latino Progress. And also, I just heard yesterday on a phone call from the Bike Walk Connecticut, also is involved with that. I believe it has moved from Hartford to Glastonbury, to a large facility over there that they can do this. And that is coming up. You can find out more about that by going to Bike Walk CT. And they'll be able to help you in that way. July 28th, busy day, the George Street Bike Challenge for Major Taylor in Worcester, Massachusetts. Yeah, it's a really, really short hill, but it's a very, very steep hill and an uphill bicycle time trial on a wicked steep street in Worcester, Mass. Can you tell we're in the Northeast? Where young Major Taylor proved himself in the 1890s. On the same day, 2019, the Thread City Century from the Thread City Cyclers right here, our local bike club. All rides start and finish at Garrison Park. Sunday, July 28th.
In Chaplin.
Yes. And in Chaplin, Connecticut. Sunday, July 28th, 2019, 102, 84, 66, and 43-mile rides. You can find out more at threadcitycyclers.com. And Fran and I will be attending the first of many Farm to Fork Fondos this year. And this one will be in Warwick, New York this weekend. If you want to find out more about that, www.farmforkfondo.com, and you can check that out. One more thing on the list here, Steeplechase Ride Walk, August 17th, 2019, a 100-mile tour, a 62.5, a 50-mile, a 35-mile, a 20-mile, and then a 5-mile walk if you want to help out the folks at the Steeplechase Bike Tour. That is steeplechasebiketour.org. My name is Pedlin Ron, and you've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, the amazing Fran Storch.
Oh, yeah.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast and you'd like to comment, you can send me an email, Bicycle Talk, numeral one, at gmail.com. And you can also listen to more and past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, or better yet, be on the show as a guest, please send me an email, bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.